This is AMDA On The Go, your gateway to expert discussions, journal article reviews, and innovation in post-acute and long-term care. AMDA On The Go is a presentation of the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine. Support for this podcast is brought to you by U.S. Post-Acute Care. This podcast is eligible for ABPLM pre-approved certified medical director credits. Details will be provided at the end of this podcast. And now here's our host for AMDA On The Go, Dr. Wayne Saltzman.
Welcome to AMDA On The Go. This podcast will discuss the collaboration between multiple national societies to focus more attention around enhanced influenza vaccines and vaccination efforts in the long-term care setting. According to Centers for Disease Control, CDC, in the 2019 flu season, less than 50% of the United States population was vaccinated. But those vaccinations prevented over 4 million illnesses, 58,000 hospitalizations, and 3,500 deaths. Despite this positive news, every year, between 70 and 85% of seasonal flu-related deaths occur among people 65 years and older. And these same older adults account for between 50 and 70% of flu-related hospitalizations. And now we have COVID-19. In a recent Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA, article entitled Influenza in the COVID-19 Era, author Dr. David Solomon concluded that a public health response must stress the importance of the two most effective infection preventive tools currently available: widespread implementation of seasonal influenza vaccination and the preservation of non-pharmacological measures like facial coverings, hand hygiene, and social distancing. Can we improve the vaccination rate in our older adult population, especially in the most medically complex and frail who live in the nursing home setting? Where do we start? What do we need to know now? Can we reduce the impact of influenza, especially in this era of COVID-19, with the threat of the coming season's twindemic? Well, educator, researcher, and nationally and internationally renowned leader in nursing and geriatrics, Dr. Barbara Resnick, thinks we can and has been part of an effort to move the dial on influenza vaccinations, and we are extremely fortunate to have her with us now to help us further navigate the path. Dr. Resnick, who insists that I call her Barb, is a professor in the Department of Organizational Systems and Adult Health at the University of Maryland School of Nursing, co-directs the Biology and Behavior Across the Lifespan Research Center of Excellence, and holds the Sonia Zaporkin Gershowitz Chair in Gerontology. She is the editor of Geriatric Nursing and has over 250 published articles, numerous book chapters, and books on restorative care and resilience. She is a past president of the American Geriatric Society and the Gerontological Society of America. Barb, it is an honor to welcome you to AMDA On The Go.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here and thrilled to address this topic, particularly this year at this time.
Barb, I typically like to start our discussion with a historical framework to set the tone. AMDA, the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine, via its members specializing on issues around influenza and older adults, like our current president, Dr. David Nace, have been advocating for vaccination programs for years. The Gerontological Society of America, GSA, created the National Adult Vaccination Program, NAVP, nearly 10 years ago, and has published thoughtful and detailed newsletters and webinars advocating for flu vaccination. And the Gerontological Advanced Practice Nurses Association, GAPNA, has also voiced strong advocacy through its crucial workforce on flu vaccination in older adults. Yet, despite the work of these three major organizations leading care efforts for our older adult population, we find that flu vaccination rates in the nursing home setting are on average still under 70%. Then came COVID-19 and its devastation in skilled nursing facilities across the country. And now these three organizations have come together to launch a new project focused on improving education and awareness of enhanced influenza vaccine products. So to start us off, you know, tell us about the genesis and evolution of the AMDA, GSA, and GAPNA collaboration. You know, aside from the fact sheets that we're going to discuss and the upcoming free webinar in September, what are the goals of this collaborative, and what is the collaborative hoping to achieve as the 2020-2021 flu season quickly approaches?
So just to give you a little background about the National Adult Vaccine Program, this really, it started in around 2012, so you're right, almost 10 years ago. And it really included about 24 stakeholders. The clinical groups were GAPNA, AMDA, the AMA, and the American Nurses Association. There were some others as well, but those were the major clinical groups. Other were industry, pharmaceuticals, again, all supporting work around adult vaccines. Mm. Initially, the focus, I have to say, was a little bit more all adults. I probably, along with AMDA and GAPNA, were the sole voices really pushing for what we could do in long-term care. I think what's happening now, we really have the opportunity, given COVID, given the increased focus and interest on infections, our concerns about what's going to happen this year with combined COVID and potential influenza, as well as an increased amount of knowledge, research, and vaccinations that can really, really improve the rate of decreasing influenza and the impact, the morbidity and the mortality for older adults. So I think all of these things coming together, the increased risk, increased thought and awareness about infection and infection control, and new products and new information, have really brought this group and driven this group together to focus more on what we can do in long-term care.
Mm-hmm. You know, Barbara, I was surprised to read in the May 2020 NAVP newsletter that the CDC Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, also known as ACIP, expressed no preferences for specific influenza products, like the enhanced products. And I thought that there was generally good awareness about the enhanced influenza vaccines and the better outcomes in older adults because of them. But clearly, there's more education needed. You know, lead us through the four fact sheets, which have been released and are available to review. The benefits of enhanced influenza, vaccine products, more benefits, real world evidence, and practical strategies. You know, why these four distinct sheets specifically? Who is the target audience? How is the message from the fact sheets different and better than similar messages from the past? And if you could, please give us a preview of the upcoming free webinar on September 17th, which will be presented by leaders like you from the collaborative. A lot of questions.
Yeah, that's great. Now, first, I really want to speak to the ACIP and my perspective on what they're saying. And the bottom line is any port in the storm. Huh. The concern has always been if they recommend a specific vaccine, then you might have a patient or a resident in front of you not have access to that specific vaccine, and they may withgo vaccination. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that anything is better than nothing. Yes, we do have sufficient data to choose or select one of the enhanced vaccines, but if you don't have another option, then anything is okay. And there's, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of politics that go into that as well. But I really do believe the intention is a good one, that anything is better than nothing. And we know that about vaccines.
Right.
The four different fact sheets are really, I think they're for anyone and everyone. They're really pretty basic. I mean, I think a lay person could certainly understand them. Any of your staff in long-term care could understand them. Families, certainly I know the families I work with are really quite well educated often and could benefit from the information within the fact sheets. The nice part about them is they're quite simple, not too wordy, and get the points across. And that's really the intention of them. They don't, they're not like reading a research article. They're not just bulleted, but they're not like reading a research article. So the first fact sheet really talks about the advantages of enhanced influenza vaccine. And I think any of you that have read anything about these know certainly we have evidence now to show that the enhanced options really result in higher antibody levels, greater protection against influenza, the advantage of reducing respiratory related hospital admissions. I always get a little nervous or not sure what that really means in our population in long-term care, because people make different choices about whether they want to go to the hospital regardless of what happens. But there is evidence to show that the enhanced vaccines can reduce the number of hospitalized residents for flu. Better protection around flu-like illness. If you're going to get it, you might as well get it not as bad as you might otherwise without a vaccine.
Right.
And the reduced risk of some of the associated complications. And I think this is the big one that most people don't really think about. You know, they think flu, okay, you get the flu, but we really need to think about more the potential longer term impact, just like we're seeing with COVID. It's not just that initial infection, it's what happens afterwards. It's the risk of pneumonia, serious cardiovascular events, and even other things like falls and stroke and other associated complications.
Right.
The second fact sheet really goes through the different types of enhanced influenza vaccines. There's high dose, recombinant, and adjuvanted. And it, you know, it really doesn't go into gory details, but it helps to explain what these do and what the difference is. And the difference being really they do contain a larger amount of the antigen and thereby increase the older adults, those of us older than 65 years of age, increase the ability to respond and fight against the flu vaccine. And so it's really addressing the whole area of immunosenescence, which we have heard a lot about. So that's what the second fact sheet is about. Third one really goes more into some of the research and a little bit about how that research has been obtained. It's a little bit hard to do flu vaccine research. It's a little bit hard to do your kind of traditional randomized controlled trial. And we all know, particularly today, some of the challenges around doing research in long-term care. And so this fact sheet goes through the way we've looked at research in real world settings and provide some of the outcomes that we've learned about morbidity, mortality, and the cardiovascular risks, and really demonstrating how enhanced vaccines can decrease those risks. And it also provides some of the resources should you want to access some of the research studies that support those findings. The last fact sheet is, I have to say, one of the ones near and dear to my heart, because it really focuses on some of the motivational issues and the tricks of the trade that we can do in the real world to make vaccines happen. What can we do in long-term care, both for staff and residents, to increase our numbers of vaccinated residents and our numbers of vaccinated staff?
Right. And I have reviewed these, and I know others have as well. They are truly sheets, single page, colorful, very easy to read, extremely informative, and we'll give the reference for where everyone can find them at the end of the podcast.
The success of your practice depends on a support team that knows exactly how to navigate through the many variables and nuances of post-acute medicine. Based on years of practical clinical experience, the team at U.S. Post Acute Care is dedicated to enabling you to deliver the very best quality of patient care, providing a unique complement of administrative and clinical educational support services. To learn more about what U.S. Post Acute Care can do for your practice, visit uspostacutecare.com.
We are speaking with Dr. Barbara Resnick about collaborative efforts to increase knowledge around enhanced influenza vaccines. Barb, I want to draw upon the end of the last question regarding the fourth fact sheet specifically. As you know, a central and ongoing motivation for the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine has always been, and makes it near and dear to my heart, what can we teach or discuss today that can be demonstrated by our Joe Amdas in the trenches, as I like to call them, tomorrow, our providers? What can they learn today and do tomorrow? The most actionable fact sheet, as you've already introduced, is the fourth one, with discussions around education, implementation of vaccination policies, vaccine accessibility, and documentation. In my own organization, we are finding the last effort, documentation, to be the most challenging. How to accurately reflect it, how to accurately show that a vaccination has occurred in the medical record. So how does the collaborative anticipate that we can put into action the messages of this last fact sheet? You know, where do we start? What does success look like for this coming flu season in the midst of COVID-19 and, frankly, in all of the flu seasons to come?
So I always strive for 100% compliance. Why not go for the gold?
Right.
It is challenging. I think we're not really sure what's going to happen this year, particularly if you think about the wider community. Within settings, it may be a little bit different because we have access to providers who can give the vaccine and are already set up for physical distancing. But there are some questions about how we're going to do this in the real world, in the outside world. But talking about how we're going to deal with flu vaccines for the fall of this year, given COVID-19, I think there's so much that we can think about doing. And number one, it's really, from my perspective, finding out what your state requirements are is an important way to start. All of the work that I do is in motivating people to engage in healthy behaviors. And one of the best ways to start with that is make it policy. Policy can change behavior, and it's a nice kind of basic way to start. Facilities can make their own policies. They do have to know what the state regulations are and what they can require, and there's lots of ethical debates, but I do encourage facilities to make some decisions. is it going to be required that all of your residents get immunized and all of your staff get immunized? That's it. You require it. Mm. You can have religious exemptions. You can, you know, make some things around that, but make it required. The other thing that is a nice number one step to make sure everybody has is basic education about immunizations. I think the fact sheets are a terrific way to do that. They could be done very quickly, but making sure everybody really understands what immunization can do for you. There's a lot of myths out there, there's a lot of misunderstanding, and it's de-implementing those beliefs that are critical to getting things started.
Yes.
Some of the other things that are helpful are making it really easy for staff and residents, making vaccines accessible, presetting your consent forms for all of your residents, and making it part of staff hiring, addressing some of the cost issues. And there are tricks of the trade in billing that can be shared. And there's information on the National Adult Vaccine Program webpage as well. You can make it fun, make contests between units, between facilities. If you're an organization, you have multiple different facilities. You can reward immunization behavior, make a visual for success. One of the critical things is identifying a champion. And when you talk about documentation, you may need a champion to oversee that. Electronic health records, we all know, have their advantages, they have their challenges. And immunizations and access to whether people have been immunized is challenging. It's also only as good as the user and what's put in there. And I think medication lists and immunizations are two of our biggest challenges. Right. But making somebody a champion and accountable for updating that is very helpful. And then having a designated place where we put it. We do that with, I was going to say MULS forms, but I appreciate everybody doesn't use the same acronym across all states. Mm. But we do that for advanced directives. So it's having that information in there. And then I always say that sharing information with family members, with other staff, making it public. We have 100% adherence to flu vaccines. How great would that be?
Yeah.
And then never stop asking. Mm. Never stop asking a resident or a staff member who has refused a vaccine 1 year. Don't check them off for the next year if you're not going to make them required to get it. But it's continuing to go down that path. And always asking that person who won't get immunized, what's stopping them? Don't assume that we know. Don't let an excuse become the real barrier. Yeah. An excuse might be something like, I don't have the time. Well, really? We're standing right here and I'm going to give it to you right now. So it's really thinking it through and working through some of those motivational challenges and issues.
Wow. So I'm going to take your last thought, and it's going to help us segue into our last question with the time that we have left. But as people who listen to this podcast know, it's pretty customary that in the time we have remaining, I tend to be somewhat provocative with my guests, but I'm definitely not going to be too much here. In the April 2020 NAVP newsletter, the focus is on communication and the promotion of vaccination. So in line with your last comment, the hypothesis in the newsletter is that in the past, all of those approaches in advocating for vaccination have been wrong or even counterproductive. You know, a doctor saying get a flu shot is no longer effective or respected or, you know, the way to go. It doesn't have the weight that it used to have. There's a negative response now to discussions around altruism, herd immunity, and disease risk. Fascinating newsletter. It was fascinating. Yet every year we tell administrators and providers in the long-term care setting to get their residents vaccinated. Despite the collaborative efforts that we've discussed today, will the vaccination message ever be well received? You know, as the newsletter asks, do we need new messages and new messengers? And, you know, who would that be? Will we ever be able to change behaviors? Will a pandemic provide the impetus for change? You know, can we, as the newsletter concludes, enhance public trust and provider effectiveness in the promotion of influenza vaccination?
So with behavior change, there's always challenges. And I always fall back on some basic motivational principles. And there's four I like to think about. The first one is actually getting somebody to do the behavior. So some of it is, if you can get somebody to do it 1 year, they'll do the flu, get a flu vaccine in future years. Or I even think about other vaccines as well, because I'm a big believer. I mean, who would want to get shingles? It's amazing to me how many people who are eligible for that vaccine don't get it. Those numbers are way smaller than our flu vaccine numbers. The second thing is to continue to encourage people. And while just saying it, for example, a provider telling somebody to get vaccinated, I think we have to be careful how we tell people. Not just saying you should, or I want to make sure you get your vaccination this year, you should go to the pharmacy, or you should do this or that. It's more, today's the day you're going to get your vaccine. We're going to give you your flu vaccine. Today's the day. I got mine yesterday. Today's your day. It's all in how you say it. The third, and continuing to verbally encourage, if that person refuses during their fall visit, you might catch them later. It might be a little bit later in the season, but maybe you can catch them later at their next visit. The third thing is, again, being a role model, saying, hey, I did it. Everybody else in your family got vaccinated, all your friends did, or a role model. Some people have used, you know, whether it's a football player or some famous person has been shown to be effective. And the last and probably one of the most important things that we need to think about is getting rid of the unpleasant sensations associated with doing a behavior. And with vaccines, believe it or not, there's many people who shy away from the pain, the shot, and fear that it's going to give them the flu and all of that, and highlight the benefits. So constantly reinforcing and helping people believe that getting the flu shot will not only decrease their risk of flu, but decrease the risk, again, of hospitalizations, of falls, pneumonia, and cardiovascular events, particularly when they're older. For staff, there's many advantages as well in terms of decreasing missed work days, decreasing the risk of giving it to a resident, bringing it home to family, other assorted things. So I think it's really lots of ways that we can hope to continue to increase immunizations. And I'm quite hopeful for this year. I think the whole focus on COVID, people have really learned that it may not just be those first COVID symptoms you have, but it may be the storm that comes later. And I think we're going to see, hopefully, an increased interest and at least well, I might as well protect myself from the flu. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen when we have a COVID vaccine remains to be seen. I think people are a little bit nervous with a novel vaccine and maybe a little bit more leery, and we may need a lot more education. But let's start with flu this year and see if we can really work to increase our numbers of both residents and healthcare staff.
How about that for Direct Lessons on Motivation and Resilience by Barb Resnick. Well, we have been so privileged to speak with and learn from the amazing Dr. Barbara Resnick, brilliant, just brilliant. Dr. Resnick, thank you very much for spending your time with AMDA on the Go.
My pleasure.
References for this podcast can be found at paltc.org/podcast, and the fact sheets can be found at paltc.org/flu-fact-sheets. Everyone, please get your flu vaccination this year. Until next time, I'm Dr. Wayne Saltzman for this innovation podcast that we call AMDA On The Go.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by U.S. Post-Acute Care. If you are a physician and interested in obtaining ABPLM pre-approved certified medical director credits for certification or recertification, go to our new learning management system at apex.paltc.org. Click on podcast and follow the link to this latest episode. Thank you.